Begin the current daf Masechta Zevachim daf Samach Zayin. Begin 10 lines down with the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara begins. The Gemara explaining the Mishnah of the previous daf, where there was a machlekes between Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Eliezer regarding a unique case. Regarding all the cases when you do the Eila as a Chatas, or you do the Chatas as an Eila, so you deviate from the procedures, it's going to be possible. However, there was a case regarding Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Eliezer when they discuss Me'ila, which the Gemara initially assumes that means to say, if one goes ahead and changes the Eila and does it, first of all, on the bottom half, when you're supposed to do it in the top half, also does it like the Maisa of the Chatas, and does it L'Shem Chatas. So Eliezer says, okay, so it's still going to be Me'ila, because even a kosher Eila has Me'ila, because it never gets removed and gets permitted to the Kayin, everything's burnt on the top, for sure when it's possible. But Rabbi Shua actually said, in the way of paradox, that it actually becomes no problem about Me'ila, which the Gemara initially assumes it means to say, because what happens is, and that's what the Mishnah discusses, a dialogue between Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Eliezer, which initially the Gemara assumes that it takes on the element of what you're having the Shalei Lishma for. So Rabbi Shua, in the way he says in the Mishnah, he says, yeah, when you're having an Eila L'Shem Chatas, Chatas is something that could become, that there's no Me'ila, because it gets permitted to be consumed by the Kanim after the blood is thrown. And therefore, although Chatas, let's say that's done for an Eila, is going to have problems of Me'ila when it's done inappropriately, but when Eila is done on the bottom and L'Shem Chatas, it's actually not going to have a problem of Me'ila. It's actually going to be, there's no misappropriation. Now that the Gemara continues, Tanya Lenna Braisa, where the Gemara continues in the dialogue, as we had many back and forth in the Mishnah, with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua regarding this halacha. Amalei Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Shua. It says, Asham sheshachta b'tzafen l'shem shlam michyach. When you take a carbon asham, that was slaughtered in the north of the Azar as it's supposed to be, but it was in the intention shalei l'shma to be for a shlam, will disprove your logic that you were saying in the Mishnah. Why? Shashina Shemai, because here you have a case where it was done Shalei Lishma, was changed from, instead of being by the Kain having in mind that it should be an Ashram, is having in mind it should be a Shlam, Umayilim Bay. And there's going to be Me'ila, which as Rashi points out, we're talking about before the blood is thrown. Because after the blood is thrown, then there's no Me'ila, because actually then it's permitted for the Kain to eat it. And because by Ashram, unlike let's say Chatas and Pesach, when it's done Shalei Lishma, it actually does not invalidate the carbon. One doesn't fulfill his obligation, but actually does not become possible. Actually, it would permit the carbon to be eaten. But one thing is that you see that there's me'ila, even when it's done, shalei lishma. So va'af ata altit ma'ala oila. So therefore, says Rabbi Eliezer, you also should not wonder regarding the oila, which again, as Rashi points out, is specifically the oila sa'if, which that's the case in the mission that Rabbi Eliezer and Yeshua are disagreeing about, because in contrast, the oila's behema, if it is changed to be shalei lishma, let's say for a chatas, which is the case that the machlek is regarding Eila Sa'if, but if it was regarding a behema, they actually they don't have a disagreement, because that actually would be changing a Shalei Lishma to something that does have Me'ila by Emurin, as we said on this Amud from the Mishnah. Rabbi Shua ultimately agreed to Rabbi Eliezer, which is how he differentiated between the different cases that Rabbi Eliezer was bringing him. If you're deviating to something that has Me'ila, yes, so then when you're doing Shalei Lishma for that thing, it will still have Me'ila. So by behema, a chatas has sacrificial parts that does have me'ila all the time. In contrast, by the chatas ha'if, which is the case they're disagreeing about, there Rabbi Shua was saying there's nothing of me'ila regarding chatas ha'if. Not the blood, because blood never does, and nothing else from the bird carbon goes on the mizbeach. But one thing is saying, Rabbi Eliezer to Rabbi Shua, you should not wonder regarding the oila sa'if that was done to be l'shem chatas ha'if, even though it's being done shalei lishma, shiyimulba, that there should be me'ila, because you see the case of Ashen that's done for Ishlam, which is also done shalei lishma, that it's there is me'ila. So to Eila, which is done shalei lishma as a chatas, should also have me'ila. That Amr Bishui says loy, no, because imamart b'Ashen, if you're going to say by the case of the Ashram that was done sheim shina es shema, if you do it shalei lishma, you change its designation, but leishina es mekaymai, but you didn't change its place, you did in the north, which is where it's supposed to be. But in contrast, the case of the Eila that we disagree about in the Mishnah, Shashina Shema Vashina Es Mekayma, there not only did he do it Shalei Lishma of an Eila, but rather did it as a Chatas, he also changed the place. Instead of doing it on the upper half, is he supposed to do the Eila Sa'if, he did it on the bottom half. So there it's really like, as we'll ultimately come to that conclusion in the Gemara, as we alluded to in the Mishnah, which ultimately it's a transformation of the Eila Sa'if as a Chatas Sa'if. So there's more change, there's more transformation, because it was not only the name of the Chatas, but also the place of the Chatas. Contrast, the case you're bringing from the Ashram, that it maintains Me'ila, is because it was only changed by its name, not its place. So Amalei Rabbi Eliezer says, okay, I'll bring you a different case. Ashim sheshachti bedarim l'shem shlam michyech. When you take a ashim and you slaughter it not in the north of the Azara, but in the south of the Azara, and you also do it for it to be as a shlamim, will prove my point. Shashina eshemai vishina es mekaymai. Where there you're changing both the designation of the ashim and its place, umaylam bay, and there is meila. Afata al tit mal oila. Therefore, you also should not wonder regarding the halacha that we disagree with the oila, but the oila sa'iv. Sha'af pi shashina eshema vishina es mekaymai. Even though they're changing the name and they're changing the place, umaylam bay, that there's still going to be meila, which you disagree and you say there's no meila. That Amar Rishui says, Loi, no, it's still not comparable. Because im amrit pa ashram, if you're going to say, by the case of the ashram, shashines shemai, vishines mekaymai, yeah, in the case you just described, there's a change of the designation and of its place. But vishines maisav, but you didn't change anything regarding the actual avaida of the ashram, you're doing as the avaida always is. Taimer ba'ila, in contrast, by the ayla sa'if that we disagree about, that there's three differences. Shashin Eshema, first was done L'Shem Chatas, not L'Shem Ayla. Vesmasel, it's Avaidus was changed as we discussed in the previous staff, that one of the Avaidus was done, the Mitzvah was done differently. There was something different about the Avaidah. And Vashinis Mekayma, and you changed the place. It wasn't done on the top, but rather was done on the bottom. So therefore, because of all those three differences, then it really becomes, as we'll see, a chatas ha'if, which doesn't have me'ila, and therefore the oila sa'if also would not have me'ila, in contrast to the case you're bringing me, only has two differences. Now, on this conclusion of the b'raisa, Amar Rava, he asks, but v'neimaleh, so why didn't Rabbi Eliezer bring him a case that you could even have three differences and still find that there's me'ila? Because ashem sheshach debedarim, he could have told him a case of an ashem that's slaughtered in the south, l'shem shlamim, to be a shlamim, Bishina Bailam with a change of owners, which is the Rav is considering the same thing as a third difference of like Shina Maisa when you're changing the Avodis itself. Where there you have Shashina Shema, you're changing the designation. Vishina Smikami changed the place. Vishina Smaisav, and you're changing the activities, and yet still we know the halacha is that there's still going to be Me'ilah. So that should disprove Rabbi Yeshua. Why didn't Rabbi Lazar continue his point and find a case that we just described of three differences and that there's still Me'ilah? Says Rava, from the fact that he didn't say this, Shema Mino, we could infer from this that Noches Rabbi Eliezer, the time of Rabbi Yeshua, that ultimately Rabbi Eliezer really understood the primary reasoning of Rabbi Yeshua. That his reason is because he holds, not as we had been assuming and explaining in the Mishnah and in this Braisa, that it was just about, it takes on the designation of what you're having in mind for. It's because in the case of the Oila Sa'if of our Mishnah that they're disagreeing about, it gets transformed and becomes a chatas ha'if. Now that reasoning you cannot say by any other deviation of any other carbon, only by the oila sa'if, which is that when you change it and you have in mind for it to be chatas and you do the activities of like a chatas, as the Gemara is going to shortly quote from Ravashi, is because by a chatas ha'if, as the Gemara says, the Amar Rav Adar Bar Avi says, Omer Rabbi Yeshua said, oila sa'if sha'asa lamata. If you're doing the oila sa'if, which is supposed to be done on the top, but you're doing it on the bottom, which is where the chatas ha'if is done, and you're doing it kamaisa chatas, you're doing it like the avaida of the chatas ha'if, and you're doing it l'shem chatas, that you have in mind that you're designating as the chatas ha'if, kivin shemalik basiman echad, once you did malika on one of the pipes, nimshachas v'nasas chatas ha'if, so it gets drawn, and it actually becomes transformed into a chatas ha'if. Now the reason for this is because chatas ha'if is validated as its malika when one of the pipes becomes severed. Now, therefore, when you take the oila sa'if and you do the malika on the bottom, l'shem chatas, and malika of one siman by an oila is not significant, it's not considered malika yet, because it needs both simanim. In contrast, by the chatas sa'if, that's the conclusion of the avodah of the malika. So before it ever gets the designation of an invalid oila, because you did it on the bottom, it already takes effect to be considered a valid chata sa'if after you cut one pipe, and therefore it gets transformed into a chata sa'if. And therefore, that was the reasoning, which doesn't apply to any other halacha. When you do shalosh shema, it doesn't become that thing. Here, literally, you did everything for it to become a chata sa'if. That's why Yeshua said that it's not going to be me'ila, and therefore the case that was described by Rava, which you had three different changes, it has no relevance to Yeshua. It's not just because of that you had those three changes, is that specifically here by the Oila Sa'if, these three changes are exactly what the Chatas Sa'if is, and just like Chatas Sa'if doesn't have Me'ila, therefore the Oila that's done like that also doesn't have Me'ila. Now, however, as the Gemara, if that's the case, then Chatas Sa'if Nami. then the same thing should apply in the reverse. We were describing their machlekes in the mission of Oilas Aif that was done three ways, like a Chatas Aif. So then Chatas Aif Nami, the same thing should be in the reverse. By the Chatas Aif, Shasa Lamala, if it was done on the top half, which really it's supposed to be in the bottom half, and Kamai Sa'ilu is done the way an Oilas Aif is done with its Avaidis of Malika. So Mechimalik Ba Simon Echad, the moment that you do Malika on one of the pipes, then, as the Shittim Mekubetz says on them, when you do the second pipe, Timashich, it should get drawn, V'tahava Oila Sa'if, and it should become the Oila Sa'if, and it should be kosher. Because the assumption of the Gemara right now is that, what Ravada was saying is that according to Beshua, it actually becomes a kosher Chatas Sa'if when you do these three things of the Oila Sa'if on the bottom, L'shem Chatas, in the Avodas of a Chatas. So therefore the Gemara is asking, so the same thing should be in the reverse. When you do the Chatas Sa'if in the three ways like the Oila Sa'if, should become a kosher Oila Sa'if. And says the Gemara, Vechitem, and if you're going to say that, yeah, according to Rabbi Yeshua, Hachinami, that is the case, that actually is going to be kosher, and our Mishnah that said that it's going to be pasul is actually not like Rabbi Yeshua, when you do the Chatas Aif on the top, like the Oilas Aif, but V'am Rabbi Yechid Mishim Rabbanah, he said, Kachi Hatsa Shal Mishnah. This is the proper text of the Mishnah. Now, my love, what isn't it that what he means to say is, Kachi Hatsa Besulai. That this is how we have the Girsa in the Mishnah, precisely so, and nothing more. Meaning that in the Machlokes that we have between Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah is only by the Oilas Aif, which is done on the bottom, Kamaisa Chatas L'Shem Chatas, but not that if you do the Chatas Aif on the top, L'Shem Oila, and with Maisa Oila, then it's still going to be Kasha. Isn't that what Rabbi Yechon was saying? That it's only the way it's described in the Mishnah? But if that's the case, it's difficult. Why? Why is it any different? So says Gemalai, no. What Rabbi Yechon was saying was, Kachatza Shakula Mishnah, this is the spread of the entire Mishnah, which is the concept. Yeah, just like Rabbi Shua disagrees, when you do the Oila Sa'if, everything like the Chata Sa'if, that it's not going to have Me'ilah. So Chata Sa'if, at least according to how the Gemara assumes right now, will also have, if you do everything like the Oila Sa'if, it'll be a kosher Oila Sa'if. However, Ravashi, I mean, he gives a different interpretation. He says the truth is that actually, no, Rabbi Shua does not disagree by the Chata Sa'if when you do it on the top half, Kamay Sa'ilah, L'Shem Oila, and it's not going to be a difficulty, which the Gemara had asked. Why? What's the difference? Just like Oila Sa'if becomes Chata Sa'if, Chata Sa'if should be transformed into Oila Sa'if. On that, the Gemara says, Ravashi, no. Bishlema Oila Sa'if, Shasa Lamata, Kamay Sa'chata, L'Shem Chata. When you do the Oila Sa'if, the case that they disagree in the Mishnah, and it's done on the bottom half, like a Chata Sa'if is done, and it's done the same type of malika the way a Chata Sa'if is done, and it has the intention of the Chata Sa'if. So kiven daha hechshira b'simen echad, since a Chata Sa'if becomes validated by cutting one of the pipes, so the moment that you cut one of the pipes, it has already been, in the properties of a Chata Sa'if, it's already a done deal. And that takes effect before it becomes an invalidated Oila Sa'if, because v'ha hechshir b'shnei simanim. The validation of the Oila Sa'if is only after cutting of the two pipes. So therefore, cutting of the first pipe did not yet invalidate the Oila Sa'if by doing it on the bottom because it hasn't yet been a Malika because you only cut one of the pipes. Now, moreover, v'Oila Sa'if l'mata lesa. There is no avoida of Oila Sa'if on the bottom. So essentially, when you're doing cutting one of the pipes, you're changing it from the activities of an Oila because you didn't do it on the top, and it is a recognition of the activities of how a Chata Sa'if is done. So says Rav Ashi, Kivin de Malik Basim and Echad, so the consequence is like this. Once you do Malika on one of the pipes, so like we said, it didn't yet take effect an Oila Psula, because it can't be possible. You didn't do the whole Malika invalidly. You only cut one pipe. It's not even called a Malika in the properties of Oila. But once you cut one pipe, it already took the effect of a valid chatas, because chatas only needs cutting of one pipes. And you did it on the bottom like a chatas, and you had in mind to be a chatas. So therefore, nimsheches, it gets drawn and gets removed from the qualification of an oila, v'nasas chatas saif, and it becomes a chatas saif. However, in contrast, the case that we're asking, el chatas saif, regarding the bird chatas, which if it was done, everything the opposite too, it was done on the top half, the way an oila is done with cutting two of the pipes and had in mind to be an oila sa'if, there it doesn't work the same way. Because kiven the amamar, since the master said, as we said in the previous parak, malika b'chol makom kasherim, the malika of the chata sa'if, although the hazah has to be on the bottom, But the Malika is actually kosher anywhere on the Mizbech, and therefore, when you're doing the Malika of the Chatos Eifa on the top, that's not a deviation to remove it from the category of Chatos, and therefore, there's not going to be any deviation over here of place, because it could be the Malika could be on the top too. Now, since by Chatos, the conclusion of its Avoda is with one Simen, so Mechimalek Bas Simen Echad Ifsala, the moment that you do cutting of the one of the pipes, before it becomes a bona fide Ayla, it already took effect that it's a Chatas that had its Malika done, Shalai Lashma, because one of the things, of the three things that's being done, is being done L'Shem Ayla. And that already invalidated the Chatas Ayv because of Shalai Lashma. So Kihadim Malik B'idach Simen, so when then you go ahead and cut the second pipe because you want to go ahead and now make it into a bona fide Ayla's Ayv, how can you draw to make a da'ilas life? It's already a chatas ha'ayif psula. And therefore that's not going to work, and therefore that's not where Rabbi Yeshua disagreed. It's only by the da'ilas life that we said before it ever becomes da'ilas ha'ayif psula, it already was a bona fide chatas ha'ayif, and therefore it's going to be qualified as a chatas ha'ayif to remove it from the halacha of me'ila, which da'ilas ha'ayif generally has. And therefore that's where Rabbi Yeshua disagrees with Rabbi Yehazar. Now, Gufa, going back to this teaching of Amar Vada Bar Abba, he had said, Bishur had said, which he qualifies the teaching of Rabbi Yeshua, that when you do the Oyla Sa'if and you change three things, you do it on the bottom, you do like the Malika of a Chatas, you do the Avoidus of the Chatas Sa'if, and you do it for the purposes of being a Chatas Sa'if. So, Kimit Shemalik Basiman Echad, the moment that you do Malika on one of the signs, Nimsheches Venasas Chatas Sa'if. So it gets withdrawn from being an Ayla Sa'if, and becomes a Chatas Sa'if, which the assumption of the Gemara, as we had mentioned before, is that therefore one would even fulfill their obligation of an obligatory Chatas Sa'if. Let's say they had to bring a Chatas Sa'if, but they were bringing the Ayla Sa'if. Now that they was done all those things like the Chatas Sa'if, he actually fulfilled the obligation of a Chatas Sa'if. Not of the Ayla Sa'if, but there's no Me'ila because it actually became, it got transformed into a Chatas Sa'if. On that premise, the Gemara asks us to continue to Amud Beis. Tashima. The Gemara quotes a Mishnah Masechtas Kinin in the third parak in the third Mishnah, which this is going to be a difficulty because Rav Ada's qualification is in the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. And later on, the Gemara is going to tell us that an anonymous Mishnah Masechtas Kinin is Rabbi Yeshua. And the word Kinin means a nest, which usually means a pair, because birds were many times bought and had to be brought as pairs in the Beis Hamikdash, and therefore the Masechtas is called Kinin. So the Mishnah describes the following case: Chatas Lazu Va'el Lazu. We have two women, we'll call them Rachel and Leah. Rachel needed to bring a carbon chatas ha'ayif for her birth. Where a woman, when she has leida, when she gives birth, she has to bring carbonis, which of the yeledis of the woman who had given birth. Now, she already had brought her carbon ayla, but she hadn't yet brought her carbon chatas. Now, Leah had to bring an ayla, because she already brought her chatas. So they went and they bought a pair of birds together. And they said that, okay, one of the birds is going to be a chatas for Rachel, and one of the birds is going to be an ayla for Leah. And they gave it to the kain. Now, the problem is that Asa Shtein Lamal, the kain, went and he thought that they were a pair of oila birds. He went and sacrificed and brought the blood of both of them on the upper half of the Mizbeach, as if they were oilas. So says the Mishnah, Mechza Kasher, Mechza Pasel. Half is valid, half is not. Meaning the oila that was done on, they were both done on the top. And oila has to be done on the top, and chatas on the bottom. So the oila part, the one that's oila is kasher, and the one that was chatas is invalid. Let's say Shtein Lamata, let's say he actually brought both of them on the bottom. So Mechza Kasha, Mechza Pasa, again, half will be Kasha, half will be invalid, the Chatas will be valid, and the Oila one will be invalid. Let's say Achas Lamala, the Achas Lamata. Let's say he went and he brought one on the top, one on the bottom, because generally, if a Kain gets a pair of birds, he assumes that they leave it up to him to decide, you have to bring a Yeledis, one's a Chatas, one's a Oila. So he brings one on the top, one on the bottom. The one on the top will automatically become the Oila, one on the bottom will automatically become a Chatas. So he does that. He, unbeknownst to him, that actually it's two different women and one needs the chatas, one needs the ayla, which each one is designated that way. So that one has to be on the top, that one on the bottom. So shtein pasulas, in this case, we're going to say actually both of the birds are invalid. Shani ayme, because I'm going to say, chatas, karvo lamala, we don't know, there was already designated which one's chatas, which one's ayla. But the kain didn't know, he just brought one on top, one on the bottom. Now the problem is, the one that's the chatas has to be the one on the bottom. If it turns out that the chatas one was sacrificed on the top, va'ila karva lamata, and the oila one possibly was the one brought on the bottom, thus invalidating both of them. Now, on that continues the Gemara and says as follows: Nehi nami de oila karva lamata. So you're saying, okay, in the last case we just described, the Mishnah says, they're both going to be possible. Because Chattas has to be on the bottom, Oil on the top. We don't know which is which. Maybe the Oil was on the bottom and the Chattas was on the top. That is the Gemara, based on what Rav Ada told us, and in Rabbi Shua, and this is, as we're assuming, is the Mishnah is Rabbi Shua. So, even if you're going to say that the Oil was brought on the bottom, but Tim Sheikh v'dahav Chattas Sa'iv, but it should be drawn and become and transformed into the Chattas Sa'iv. So therefore, the woman that had to fulfill the Rachel that we're saying still had to bring a Chattas for her obligation, either way you look at it, should fulfill her obligation. Because if it was the Chattas that was brought on the bottom, so that's good. That was where it was supposed to be. And if not, if let's say the Chattas is brought on the top and the Oil is brought on the bottom, so Leah, who had her Oil being brought on the bottom, which is also not valid, but it gets transformed into a Chattas, and Leah doesn't need a Chattas, so anyways, that should go and fulfill the obligation of Rachel. So why are we saying that both didn't fulfill? Either way you look at it, Rachel's obligation of Chattas should be fulfilled. Well, that answers the Gemara, no. Eimer d'amar Rabbi Yeshua, when did Rabbi Yeshua say his halacha b'chad gavra, by one person? Betray gavra mi'amar, did he say by two different people, by Rachel and Leah? How could Leah's carbon fulfill the obligation for Rachel, who had no portion in that carbon? You're right. Leah's is going to be either way a Chattas Sa'iv, but Leah doesn't have to bring a Chattas Sa'iv. But her Chattas Sa'iv cannot work for Rachel, and there is no difficulty on Rav Ada. I think Mark continues asking. Tashema, again from Mishnah Masechtas Kedin, there in the third parak, now in the next Mishnah, in the fourth Mishnah. The Mishnah there is talking about two women who went and bought together three pairs of birds, where what was necessary was, because each woman needed a certain amount, so they said, okay, let's pull our resource together and buy in bulk. One of the women needed an oila salif, and a full pair of birds, meaning one for chattas, one for oila. Well, let's say she gave birth, she needs one to be chattas oila, and the other oila was for, let's say, a neder. But she needed one oila bird and a pair of birds, one of chattas, one oila, which is for a total of two oilas and one chattas. And the other woman needed two chattas and one oila. So they decided to buy together where it's going to be a total of the same amount of chatoyas and oilas, where again, one needs two oilas and one chattas, one needs two chattas and one oil. So what they did is, so when they had these three pairs, so one of the pairs they specified right away that chattas v'oila, that one bird is going to be an oila and one bird is going to be a chattas. That was from one of the pairs. Ustuma, then one of the pairs they left unspecified. They didn't say which one's going to be chattas, which one's going to be an oila. And then the third pair, umufureshes. The third one, they specified, and they said, okay, this bird's going to be an oila, and this bird's going to be a chattas, but they didn't designate who's going to get that chattas and who's going to get that oila. If it's Rachel or Leah, all they said was that this one's chattas, this one's oila. So it comes out, for a total, is that they had these three pairs. One was going to be, one's a chattas, one's an oila. Then they had, meaning for this woman, and this one's going to be oila for that woman, because each one had one more of chattas and oila than the other one, meaning one had to have two chattas and one oila, one had to have two oilas and one chattas. So the first pair, they said, okay, this is Rachel chattas, and they said, this is Leah's oila. The second pair was totally unspecified, and the third pair was specified, but not for who. It said, this one's the chattas, this one's the oila. So the halacha is that they have to sacrifice these two pairs, because those two pairs are going to be chattas noila, chattas noila, and then the discrepancy, that's the first pair, one's going to get the oila, one's going to get the chattas one. So the last two pairs have to be sacrificed, unspecified, for the two of them. And the oilas have to go on the top, and the chattas have to go on the bottom. And the chattas for this one, and the oila for that one, and they have to be sacrificed for the designation of who the owners are. Now, they gave these three pairs to the kain. And asa kulon lamalo, he went and he did all the birds on the top. He thought they were all oilas. So says the Mishnah, mechza kasher, mechza pasul. Half of them are going to be valid, half of them are going to be pasul. Because, as we said, the sum total of all of them is, there's three oilas and there's three chatois. All the chatois are going to be invalid, because they have to be run on the bottom, and everything was brought on the top. And therefore, they have to go ahead and then bring all the chatois that they have to bring again. Let's say kulon lamata, let's say he brought them all on the bottom, because they thought they were all chatois. So again, mechza kasher, mechza pasul. Half are going to be kasher, half are going to be invalid. Because all the oilas that are supposed to be in the top are going to be invalid, and therefore they have to bring over all those oilas that they had to bring. Chetzin lamala v'chetzin lamata. Let's say they brought half, the kohen brought half on top, three on top, and three on bottom. In the kasher el estuma, so the only one that's going to be valid is the unspecified pier, that middle one that we describe. Because over there, it doesn't make a difference. Whichever one that he did as an oila is going to become an oila. Whichever one he did as a chatas is going to be valid. Because when you have a pair of birds, which were not specified at the time when the owner had purchased it, so then it doesn't become qualified what type it's going to be for until when the kohen actually does it. As Rashi explains, it was obvious to the case of the Mishnah with Ankinen that every single one of those three pairs were being brought by themselves, meaning from every one of those pairs, one was done on the top, one on the bottom. It wasn't like from all six, three were on the top, three on the bottom. From each one of those pairs, one on top, one on bottom. So regarding that middle one, it doesn't make a difference. It wasn't specified regarding either one of them, which one's going to be on top, which one on bottom. In contrast, the other ones, the first one was totally specified, Rachel's Chatas and Leah's Ayla. And if you do it one on the other one, that's a problem. The third one was also, didn't say whose it is, but it said one's a chatas, one's an ayla. Middle one didn't say anything, so whichever one was on top, whichever one on the bottom is going to be valid, then it automatically becomes the top one's the ayla, the bottom one's the chatas. Now, so regarding the validation of that unspecified group, says the Mishnah, umeschalekes beinehin. And then it gets divided amongst them. In other words, since they bought it in joint partnership, so one of them is going to fulfill their obligation of the chatas, and the other one is going to fulfill her obligation of the oila, and then they're going to purchase another pier between them, and then they'll sacrifice that with a stipulation and to say that if the first oila was for Rachel and the chatas was for Leah, so this second pier is going to be the oila for Leah and the chatas for Rachel. And if it was the opposite, then it was the opposite. That's what the Mishnah says. Now, ve'ilu mifurash and light. But as we said, regarding the third pier, the one that was specified, they're not. Then not even one is going to be valid. That is the Gemara Vamai, but why? In other words, we understand the first group, the first pier, where they were specified not only that which one's Chatzis, which one's Ayla, but that this is Rachel's and that was Leah. That we have no question, because those are two different people. And when, let's say, the Ayla was done on the bottom, as we're going to shortly talk about, Leah's cannot work for Rachel, as we mentioned before. But our question is regarding the third group, the third pier, the one that was specified. But it just wasn't specified for which person it is. It just said which one's a chatas, which one's an ayla, and that was brought joint between the two of them. That's the Gemara's question. Why is it going to be totally puzzle every one of those two birds when it was done on the bottom, which we don't know which one was done on the bottom, and they were done with the activities of a chatas for the utility of a chatas because the kohen thought it was a chatas. But why is it puzzle? Because even if you're going to say that from that third pier, we don't know, maybe it was the chatas done on top and the oil was done on the bottom, which therefore we're saying they're both invalid. But Tim Shech V'tahav V'chatas Aiv, based on what Rav Avada said, it should draw it from being a oila sa'iv and it should transform it to a chatas aiv. And therefore, although they're going to have to bring something more next time, but they should not have to bring in partnership next time only one oila. And they'll say that if the oila from the unspecified one was for Rachel, so let this one be the oila for Leah. And it was for Leah, that's what it's been for Rachel, but why do you have to bring two for? Because according to Rav Avad's interpretation of Rabbi Yeshua, the oila sa'if that was done on the bottom should be kosher as a chata sa'if. And therefore what was only missing was the other one's oila sa'if. But chata sa'if should be valid, should be qualified through this inappropriate oila sa'if. Now says the Gemara, v'chite mahad d'loy k'bishua. And if you can say, well, okay, it's not difficult. This Mishnah in Kenan is not like a Bishua. That says the Gemara, mi metzisa amr hachi. Can you really say that the anonymous Mishnayist in Kenan is not Rabbi Yeshua? But Tashema, let's bring a raya from Masechtas Kenan that it's like Rabbi Yeshua, because we learned the end of the Mishnayis and Masechtas Kenan that spoke about the case we're going to describe, where the end of it says and concludes the Masechta that Amr Rabbi Yeshua, he says, this is what they said, which the Gemara assumes what that means to say is that the anonymous Atana of Kenan is Rabbi Yeshua. And therefore the Gemara goes through a complex Mishnah, concluding on the next daf, that to show that it's Rabbi Yeshua who's the anonymous Tana, and therefore we're back to the question that the Gemara is asking right now, that so according to Rav Avada, so why is it both possible? Let it at least qualify the Oila Sa'if that's done on the bottom, if it is, as a Chatzah Sa'if. Because the Mishnah says as follows, Ha'isha Sha'amra, Harei Kain Emela Zachav. A woman says that if I'm going to give birth to a son, to a male, then I'm taking a vow that I'm going to bring a pair of birds. And Yelda Zachar, she gives birth to a male. So maybe a shtekin, she has to bring two pairs of birds. Why? Achas l'nidr, once for the vow that she took. V'achas l'chevasa, once for the intrinsic obligation that every woman who gives birth, as we mentioned before, this is an obligation by Yeledis, a woman gives birth, to bring a pair of birds. She has to bring two pairs, one for the vow that she took, and one for the halacha of yeledes. Now, let's say nisnasan l'kayin, she gives the two pairs to the kayin. So the halacha is, a kayin tzarech l'asayisan shalish l'mal l'vach l'mata. He has to bring three of those birds on the top, its blood, and one of them on the bottom. Because her vow, both are oilas, a vow of a pair of birds, it's not a chata, it's not a sin, it's an oila. And regarding her obligatory for giving birth, one of them is an oila, one's a chata. So you have three oilas that go on the top, and one's a chata that goes in the bottom. But says the Mishnah, lo yasakein. Let's say the kohen did not do that. He went and he brought two of them on the top and two of them on the bottom because he thought that what this woman is bringing him is two pairs of birds that are obligatory on her. Because let's say he thinks that, okay, he knows this woman gave birth and maybe she was what's called the Yeledes Bezayif. When she gave birth, she was also a Zava. So therefore, she has to bring a pair for birth and a pair, which is a woman when she has Ziva, which is some type of a mission that she has, something like a nida, that she has to bring a pair of birds too. So he figured, okay, these are two pairs, one, two chatois, two oilas. He brings two on the top, two on the bottom, which is not the case. V'loy nimlach. He did not consult with her to know why she's bringing it, thus making the error where you're really supposed to have three on the top, one on the bottom. He does two on the top, two on the bottom. So says the Mishnah, the halacha is, tzricha shetavi oid prey da'acha. So she has to now supplement that and bring another bird, and then sacrifice that extra bird on the top. And this is all talking about if mimin echad. If the first two sets of birds were all from the same type, meaning because the bird karbanis could be either from tyran or b'nei yayna, from turtle doves or from young pigeons. So on that is what the Mishnah is saying. If the two pairs of birds were either all turtle doves or all b'nei yayna pigeons, so then now the extra bird that she has to bring, she has to bring one more, because one oila, instead of being brought on the top, was brought on the bottom. So then she brings one more bird as an oila, and then she fulfills her obligation, where from the pair of birds that the kohen had first brought, that first pair, and that's important to understand in the halachas that we're discussing, the first pair is always going to be for our obligation of childbirth, where those, because that's her obligations. And the second pair is for her vow. Now, as we said, one of the birds which is supposed to be an oila, was invalidated by doing on the bottom. So therefore, this extra one is going to take that place and fulfill it. But says the Mishnah, but if let's say the first pairs of birds were umishnei minin, that they were actually from two different types, that there was a pair of birds of turtle doves and a pair of birds of pigeons, and then the kohen again, instead of bringing three in the top, one in the bottom, he brought two in the top, two in the bottom, then tavi shtayim. Then she has to supplement, because of the mistake, two extra birds, one a turtle dove and one a pigeon. And both of those have to be sacrificed on the top. Now, the reason for that is because we're in doubt regarding which one of the pair of birds from the first two pairs was sacrificed last, which we said the ones that are sacrificed last is the one that fulfills our obligation of our vow. And therefore, by default, which is the one that had the bird that was invalidated, which is another important halacha, is that you have to supplement. If let's say the vow had one that was done according to the law, which was on the top, and the other one was not, when you have to supplement the vow which has two birds, it has to be from the same species as the Mishnah teaches Masechtas Kiddin in the second parak in the fifth Mishnah, which is that you cannot bring a tor correlating to the pair of a b'nei yayna, and neither can you correlate that supplement a pigeon with that of a turtle dove. So because of that, in this case, we don't know which one was the second pair, and therefore by default had the one that was done on the bottom. It might have been the Torah, it might have been the Ben Yoina, and you have to supplement the one that you didn't do appropriately with whatever type that was originally brought, which was valid, because two of them were on the top. So then you have to bring from both, from a Torah and a Ben Yoina, from a pigeon and a turtle dove, and then have that done on the top to fulfill the obligation of that one oila that was done inappropriately. Continues the Mishnah. Let's say when she took her vow, when she was pregnant, and she says, if I have a son, I'm going to give a cane, I'm going to give a pair of birds to the Mizbeach. Now, when she said that, Pirsha Nidra, she specified the vow, what species she's going to bring. She said it's going to be Tayrim or B'nai Yaina, but she doesn't recall which one she specified. Was it Tayrim or was it B'nai Yaina? Now, when she comes and after she gave birth and she brings the two pairs of birds to the Kayin, like we said, and he does, instead of doing three on the top and one on the bottom, he does two on the top, two on the bottom. So therefore, from the two oilas, one's going up, one's going down. The halacha is, tzricha lehevi oid gimel preiden. So she has to bring now another three birds to be brought on the top. If it's mimin echad, if we're talking about that it was all from the first two pairs that she had initially brought were all from the same type, either from turtle doves or pigeon. But umibez minin, if let's say the first two that she brought was from two different types, then actually tavi dalid, she has to now bring an extra four birds. Why? Because since she specified, as we said initially when she was pregnant, she specified which one's going to be the vav that she'd bring from which type, but she doesn't recall even in the beginning what type it was. So initially, the obligation was that she had to actually bring, when she gave birth, three pairs of birds. Because two for her vow, because she has to bring one pair from turtle doves and one pair from pigeons because she doesn't know which one was the vow. And the third one for her obligation, which whatever type she wants to, because of just giving birth. Now, ultimately, when she gave birth, she only brought two pairs of birds. Now, therefore, by default, as we said, the first pair that is sacrificed fulfills the obligation of being a yeledis of childbirth itself. Now, the remaining two are for her vow. Now, moreover, as we said, one of the birds became invalidated because the kohen, instead of bringing it on top, brought on the bottom. Now, therefore, as the Mishnah said, if all the first two pairs were from the same type, she has to bring another one from that type first to supplement the one that became pasul. Now, besides that, even initially this would have been this way, she has to bring a whole nother pair from a different type because, like we said, she didn't know what she specified for the vow. So it wasn't enough that she brought two pairs when she gave birth. One was for the chayv, and then she was supposed to bring two, meaning a total of three, and she only brought two, total of three for her vow because it could have been either Tayrim or B'nai Yaina. Therefore, now when actually besides that, she missed that one pair, even one of the from the pier itself was done in pasul, so you have to have one to supplement that, and then a whole nother pier, which is for three more birds. Now, if let's say initially they were done from two different types of species, so the Mishnah said now she has to bring four birds, and they're all going to be eyeless. Why? Because we're in doubt which pier of birds were brought last, which is from there that we said you have to supplement from the same species of bird which became invalidated because one was done properly from the vow and one wasn't. And besides that, to bring a whole nother pair of birds, because she doesn't really know right now at this point, does she bring one turtle dove and two pigeons, or one pigeon and two turtle doves? So therefore, what she has to do is, she has to bring two turtle doves and two pigeons, and she says as follows. She goes, whichever one of the turtle doves or the pigeons is the one that was from the last pair, which was for the nedda, which became invalidated because it was done on the bottom instead of the top, that one will take that place. And the second one will be the nadava. And the second pair is to fulfill the initial doubt of the interpretation of what was her initial vow, which she had specified, but we don't know what she specified. So that makes for a total of four birds, where really three are being utilized, and the fourth one's going to be a nadava, but we just don't know which one it is, because they were from two different types. So one is just to supplement, which she always had to do, those two birds, because she had never brought that initially when she gave birth. And the last two is just because we don't know, is it a ben yoin that's supposed to be, or is it supposed to be a tor? So you have to bring both of those for a total of four birds. Continues the Mishnah. Kava nadra. Let's say she established her vow, not only that she's bringing a vow, but that she's going to bring it together with her obligatory pair of birds. Meaning, what that means to say is that she said, I'm taking a vow that I'm going to bring a pair of birds if I give birth to a boy, that I'm going to bring it with my obligatory pair of birds. And she specified, like this old building on the previous case, that what type of bird she's going to bring for her nether, for her vow, but she doesn't know what she specified, like we said before. And she comes, when she gives birth, she comes and brings two pairs of birds, and she gives it to the kohen, and he does, like we said, instead of doing three on top, one on the bottom, he does two on the top and two on the bottom. So the Mishnah continues, as we continue the Gemara on top of Samach Chesem and Aleph, so Tzricha Shetavi Oit Chamish Preidim Lamalo Miminechad. So she has to bring now another five birds and have them all sacrificed on the top if all the first four birds, the first two pairs, were from the same type. Now the reason for this aloch is as follows, is that since she had established that, not just that she's taking a vow, but that she's going to bring those that she took a vow with her obligatory pair of birds of childbirth, so the way Rashi says it is that it became established on her to bring a large carbon, meaning that she was going to bring three oilois together, meaning besides the two oilois that which is a pair of birds that you take as a vow, and then besides the two, one oila, one chaz, you have to bring for your obligatory of childbirth. When she says, I'm going to bring it with my chayva, it means to say that there's going to be one more, besides the two of oilas, one more that's going to be the same type as the obligatory pair of birds that she's bringing, meaning if it's going to be pigeons or turtle doves. Now, that would be if she would remember what she specified. Problem is, this woman doesn't remember what she specified, and therefore she has to bring initially five oilas together. One to be for her obligatory, because the Yoledis has to bring one oila, one chatas, so that's one, and then four for the vow. Now, four for the vow is because, like we said, you have the case of the pair of birds itself that you took a vow for, and then that third one, which you don't know, so therefore that one has to be both. Now, when she brings the two pairs of birds, so one's going to be for her vow, one's going to be for her obligation, and if they're from the same species, so essentially she hasn't done anything for her vow. Why? Because maybe that pair that she's bringing is not the type that she had vowed for. Now, Rashi addresses an important idea, and he says that, so why can't you just supplement the second pair, at least from one of the types, to be that third one that you had to bring together with the obligatory ones? And that says, Rashi, that's not valid, because that had to be from the same type as the chayvis, as the obligatory ones, and we don't know if that's the second pair that you're bringing to use at least one of those. It's just not fulfilling the nether because it might have been the wrong type. So we're saying, okay, at least let it fulfill the type of that third one, the extra one, that's because you convey it with the chayv to bring it the same type. We don't know if that's the same type as the chayv. Now, and that says Rashi, but if you're going to say that, okay, so bring a pair from one species and let one bird be brought from the type that was from the original two types that we said it was from Minecha, from one species, were the first two pairs of brought, which that is that what you brought the oilas of the obligations, and then there, Maman Shach, either way you're looking at it, if she had taken a vow of turtle doves, so she's bringing turtle doves with the same type that she's another one that's being brought for, that she had brought for her obligatory pair of birds. And if she had taken a vow of pigeons, so she brought two pigeons with the type that she had taken the vow for the obligatory ones. So says Rashi, you're right. If we didn't have the case that we're describing where one of the pigeons had already become pasul because instead of being done on top, it was done on the bottom, that would work out that way. But now that one of them became pasul, so like we said before, the other one cannot help it at all. Why? Because there's three oilas that were established to be together. And therefore, if from the first two pairs were the same type, like the Mishnah is saying, she has to bring now five oilas. Three from that type, and two from a different type. Why? Four is for the doubt of what she had specified, because we don't know, was it pigeons or was it turtle doves. And one is for the one that was established that she said that she's going to bring it together, this with her nether, that's going to be to brought together with the oilas chayva. Now, the obligatory, the Yoledis ones were already sacrificed and were already fulfilled. It's just that now she has to bring from that same type with the nether, because of it was being established with that we said we don't know, and therefore you have to bring a total of five birds. Now, continues the Mishnah, Mebeiz Minin Tavi Sheish. If it's from two different types, you have to actually bring six birds. Why? Because she doesn't know which type was initially brought for, because it was two different types, and we don't know which one was first. The first one automatically becomes the Yoledis ones, and the second one automatically becomes the Nedu ones. So we don't know which one was the first type brought to be the Chayva one, to bring that extra bird that we said, because you convey with the Chayv to bring from that type, besides the four that you have to bring out of the doubt, because we don't know what was the pair of birds that she had made a Nedu on. Was it two pigeons or two turtle doves? So you got to bring four for that, because it got to be two turtle doves, two pigeons, and therefore she brings a total of six. Two turtle doves and two pigeons because of the doubt of what a nether was. And then additionally, a turtle dove and a pigeon for what she had established, because it has to be the same type as with the first ones of the chayva. We don't know which one that was. And then that extra bird's going to be the dove, because one of them is obviously not necessary. Now continues the Mishnah, another add-on to this case. Let's say nos nosen lekoin ve'in yedas ma nosna. Let's say she gave it to the kohen, meaning initially, but she doesn't know what she gave him. She doesn't know. In the previous cases, at least she knew, but we just didn't know the order. Let's say here she brought two pairs of birds. She's like, okay, she gave birth. She knows she has to bring two birds, one pair for the childbirth and one pair for the vow. But she doesn't know. Did I give him two turtle doves, or were they both pigeons? Was one pair pigeons and one pair turtle doves? Moreover, continues the Mishnah, halacha kohen va'asa. And the kohen went and he did ve'ini dema asa, and he doesn't know what he did. He doesn't know. Did he do them all on the top? Did he do them all on the bottom? Were half on the top, half in the bottom? So it comes out that she didn't even fulfill her obligatory pair of birds, because maybe they were all on the top and she didn't fulfill her chatas. Maybe they're all on the bottom and she didn't fulfill her oila. So says the Mishnah, therefore in this case is as follows. Tzricha dalad preidin lenedr. So she has to go ahead and bring four birds for her nether. Like we said, that's because we're in doubt. What was her nether? And therefore you have to bring from two different types. V'shtayim lechivasa. And then she has to bring two for her obligation of her oilas chayva, which is from the pair of birds. One of them is an oila. She has to bring a turtle dove and a pigeon, because maybe the first ones that were brought were all done on the bottom. Moreover, she doesn't know from what species she had even brought. Now, as the Rabbanan hold, everything goes after the designation of the chatas. Now, since everything was done on the bottom, and the chatas was done on the bottom, so it was a valid chatas, so now she has to bring an oila correlating to that type. Now, however, maybe the first ones were half done on top and half done on the bottom. And in the first period that was sacrificed, she really fulfilled her obligation. And now, as we said, she has an obligation to bring an oila from that same species which she had made with her nether, but she doesn't know which species it was. So therefore, what has to be is, as the Mishnah is saying, is she has to bring with those four of the doubtful what the nether was, a turtle dove and a pigeon. And either way you look at it, it's going to have to be like that because of the doubts of the different options. And that is, if the pair that was sacrificed first were turtle doves, and the oila was sacrificed on the top, which fulfilled the obligation, so the one that she's bringing now is going to be the turtle dove with her vow, is because of that one that we call the kviyas, that was established to be brought together with her chayva. Now, and if they were pigeons originally, so then she has to bring now a pigeon to be the one with her nether because of that kviyas, and that she's bringing. Now, if it was all done on the bottom, so now she has to actually bring an oila from that type, because the chatas was valid, and now you have to bring an oila, which was not valid because it was all brought on the bottom from that same type. So from the two that she's bringing now for her obligation, one of them will be the oila, and the second one will be on the dava. So therefore, there's two that she has to bring for the chayva of being her oila sa'if. And additionally, the chatas achas. She has to also bring one chatas sa'if from whatever species she wants to, because maybe, since we're not sure what the kohen even did, maybe they were all done on the top, and therefore the chatas was not valid because it's been on the bottom. Now, by default, if you're going to bring a chatas, no matter which species, you're going to have a pair for it from the oila, because we said the oila is anyway we're bringing for its obligation from both types, a turtle dove or a pigeon. Now, as Rashi points out, although that possibly the oila sa'if, its obligation was already sacrificed from the first time, and it was already fulfilled the obligation, so then maybe you should have to bring a chatas from both types, because like we said, you have to supplement that same type. So on that, the halacha is that you don't have to be meticulous in regards to the chatas to be the same type as the oila from the first type, because the Rabbanah who disagree with Ben Azeh, who are going to shortly quote, they hold actually everything goes based on the chatas. So therefore, since by default she's anyways bringing two types of oila, so you'll pair up from the type of the chatas that you bring, whichever one you choose, and that's going to be enough. As the Mishnah teaches there, Machlekes and Masechtas Kinim in the second parak in the fifth Mishnah, that if a woman brings her oila as a turtle dove and her chatas as a pigeon, which you can't, they have to be from the same type, so she has to then rebring an oila as a pigeon because everything goes based on the chatas. In contrast, Ben Azir, as we're going to shortly quote, he says actually everything goes based on the first one that's brought. So therefore, Ben Azir, I mean, he disagrees and he says actually beis chatois. You have to bring two bird chatois, and as we said, Ben Azir goes according to his reasoning that he says everything goes based on the first one that's brought. And since we're in doubt, maybe the first ones were all done on the top, and therefore she already fulfilled her obligation of the oila. So now the chatas has to be from the same type as the oila. Now we don't know what type that was, and therefore she has to bring two chatois from the two different types, one turtle dove and one pigeon. Now, Rashi just points out, however, that these chatois ha'oif are not consumed because they're only being brought on in doubt, and the malika is not permitting it to be eaten because maybe the chatois were already brought the first time and these are not valid karbanis. So that's the discussion in the Mishnah. The conclusion of this discussion, Rabbi Shua, he says, Zeru Shem, this is what they said, Kishu Chai, when it was alive, Koyle Yechid, it made one sound. Kishu Meis, Koyle Zayin, when it's dead, it makes seven sounds. Which the Mishnah there explains over there, it's actually talking about, he's referring to a ram. When the ram is alive, the animal makes only one sound. When it's dead, it makes seven sounds. How does it make seven sounds? Because the two horns are used as two trumpets. The two bones of the thigh is made as two flutes. The skin, the hide is used for drums. The intestines are made for like a lyre. It's the strings of its intestines are used for the strings of a harp. So it ends up making seven sounds. What Rabbi Shua is alluding to is that the same thing over here. When the woman initially took a neder and she didn't know what she vowed, initially really the halacha is she only has to bring four birds, and additionally two for her obligation, one as an oila, one as a chatas. But now that she had already brought four birds, now she has to bring another eight, which is like the same idea. When it's alive is one thing. When you make a mistake, when something goes wrong, suddenly it makes more noises. She has to bring four for her vow and four for obligation, as we said, from Benazai. So that's what Rabbi Shua is commenting. But one thing the Gemara wants to bring from here is from the fact that it's Rabbi Shua saying this statement. Obviously, Kenan is Rabbi Shua who said the Mishnah is Masechtas Kenan. Now, the problem is we had quoted from the Mishnah Masechtas Kenan before, that regarding when there was these two women and there was an unspecified pair of birds and there was a specified, didn't say for which woman, but it was saying which one's chatzis, which one's ayla, that we said the only birds are going to be kasha, the unspecified ones. On that, the Gemara had asked, but if you're going to say, like Rav Ada, that then if you take an ayla sa'if, even if you do it on the bottom, it becomes transformed for ayla sa'if and becomes a chatzis sa'if, then why is it not kasha? At least let one of those two birds from the third pair become valid as a chatzis sa'if. That's the Gemara answers, Eimidam Rabbi Shua, when Rabbi Shua say that the Eila Sa'if that's done on the bottom with the Maisim of a Chatas, L'Shem Chatas, that is not going to be Me'ila, is only Lafuki Medem Me'ila, is only to exclude it from Me'ila. In that regard, we're going to view it as a Chatas Sa'if, and therefore there's not going to be Me'ila. But basically, L'Cheve Me'amr, to fulfill the obligation as if it was a bona fide Chatas Sa'if, did he ever say that the Eila could become a Chatas because you made something, a change in it? Of course not. And therefore, the Gemara concludes it's not going to be kosher. Rather, it's only going to be some this quasi state of removing it from the status of me'ila as an oila would normally be, because it was done as a chatas ha'if. There was not going to be me'ila, misappropriation, but to be valid as a chatas ha'if, not. And therefore, that's why the Mishnah Masechtas Kenan, which is Rabbi Shua, is not difficult, because of course you're not going to fulfill the obligation of even a chatas ha'if when the oila sa'if is done the bottom. It just removes it from me'ila, but it's not going to be fulfilling any obligations, as we said, for chatas ha'if.